And greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Wei ni hao. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Guten Tag. Bonjour. Half a day. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now. Go vegan. Peace now. Go vegan. Well, from the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison military industrial corporation in the bribocratic corruptocracy of the United States of Listeria, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the planet's first vegan radio program in mainstream media. Well, this weekend in San Francisco, we interrupt the violent, warlike traditions of our civilization for a celebration of the lifestyle of peace and nonviolence. Yes, all this weekend we've been at Golden Gate Park, and I've had the honor of emceeing the World Vegetarian Day weekend celebration organized by the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. Gosh, too bad everyone else was off bombing themselves to death, but we were off boycotting cruelty. Now, you know, I'm not just saying all of this because...
I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
No, but all this violence in the world, violence in the name of religion and intolerance, gosh, I mean, it's... just incredible. Now, the thing is, one of the reasons that World Vegetarian Day is celebrated in the beginning of October is to commemorate the birthday of a very heroic vegetarian, Mahatma Gandhi. His birthday is October 2nd. Now, I tried to hold out and be born on Gandhi's birthday myself, but I couldn't do it. I had to pop into the real world on September 29th, and now I have the same birthday as Bryant Gumbel. Oh, well, at least I'm the same sign as Gandhi, huh? Same sign as John Lennon. But from where did Gandhi's vegetarianism and compassion spring? Well, I think... it's generally agreed that his mother had a major influence on him, and his mother was a Jain, J-A-I-N, an ancient religion from which grew Hinduism. And gosh, the Jains, well, let's see, so we have some quotes from Hinduism, which has, as I say, is an outgrowth of Jainism. If we look at religion, for example, the Hitopadesa says, quote, "What is religion? Compassion for all things which have life." And some of the Hindu traditions say, for example, those who permit the slaughter of an animal, who kill it, who cut it up, who buy or sell flesh, who cook it, serve it up, or eat it, are all slayers. And from Jainism, a quote, non-injury to living beings is the highest religion. One who harms animals directly or indirectly has not understood deeds of sin. Those whose minds are at peace and who are free from passions do not desire to live at the expense of others. You know, usually when religious extremists take action, you know, whatever the religion is, it's run for cover. Too bad we don't see any Jain extremists, though. You know, what would that mean? You know, more animal hospitals under construction, more vegetarian restaurants. You know, actually, the Jains did construct the first animal hospital, and you know, some people think that concern for nonviolence is extreme in itself. Jain priests might wear a mask so as not to inhale any creatures, or sweep with a whisk broom in front of them so as not to hurt any crawling critters. And you know, we contrast that with the Western fly swatter, you know, or the stunt, you know, that Six Flags is pulling. You know, do you hear about that? Six Flags locations are chomping at the bit to get their October Fright Fest events going, and those chomping at the bit to get to the front of line do so by chomping on a bit of live Madagascar hissing cockroaches. Gosh, is that not an example of our lack of reverence for life, for entertainment, eating living beings? And gosh, you know, and what we learn from the Jains is that to revere life, even the least among us, or those considered the least among us, but watch out, the cockroaches might be the ones to inherit the earth after the lesser humans are done playing their games of war and violence and meat eating. How destructive can you be? You know, if the lesson could be reverence for life, even the least among us, maybe we would revere each other, huh? Don't you think? Gandhi certainly had reverence for life. And I'd like to go to some of the quotes from Mahatma Gandhi. This from the Extended Circle, a Dictionary of Humane Thought. And What were some of the things that Gandhi had to say, huh? Let's see here. What page might it be on? Okay, page 91. Okay, the greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated. Vivisection is the blackest of all the black crimes that man is at present committing against God and his fair creation. It ill becomes us to invoke in our daily prayers the blessings of God the Compassionate if we in turn will not practice elementary compassion toward our fellow creatures. Also from Gandhi, the quote, "I do not regard flesh food as necessary for us at any stage and under any clime in which it is possible for human beings ordinarily to live. I hold flesh food to be unsuited for our species. We err in copying the so-called lower animal world if we are supposedly superior to it." I put in so-called and supposedly myself there. Let's see. He also said, "I want to realize brotherhood or identity not merely with the beings called human, but I want to realize identity with all life, even with such things as crawl upon earth." Of course, now I don't use speciesist language, so I wouldn't call any living being a thing or an it, but you know, the language of the day there, huh? And Gandhi also said, quote, "The basis of my vegetarianism is not physical, but moral. If anybody said that I should die if I did not take beef tea or mutton, even under medical advice, I would prefer death. That is the basis of my vegetarianism. I would love to think that all of us who called ourselves vegetarians should have that basis. There were thousands of meat eaters who did not stay meat eaters. There must be a definite reason for our making that change in our lives, for our adapting habits and customs different from society, even though sometimes that change may offend those nearest and dearest to us. Not for the world should you sacrifice a moral principle. Therefore, the only basis for having a vegetarian society and proclaiming a vegetarian principle is and must be a moral one." And one last quote here from Gandhi. "I hold today the same opinion as I held then. To my mind, the life of a lamb is no less precious than that of a human being. I should be unwilling to take the life of a lamb for the sake of the human body. I hold that the more more helpless a creature, the more entitled it is to protection by man from the cruelty of man." So, we celebrate World Vegetarian Day and Gandhi's birthday, World Farm Animal Day, happening all in the beginning of October. And, you know, this is a wonderful time for you to consider the benefits of going vegan also, completely, fully vegetarian. The health benefits, when you consider heart disease, cancer, stroke, mad cow disease, etc. When you consider the environment and what you would save in water usage, water pollution, global warming, gas emissions, you name it, deforestation. All the problems of the world are tied to our meat eating. We'd be at peace. We could share resources. look at all the oil getting used up by the meat industry. Just for barf alone, I mean beef alone. If you consider the estimates being half a gallon to a gallon of gasoline needed for the production of a pound of barf, I mean beef. Can you believe that? And the Cattlemen's website says that Americans consume 24 billion pounds of barf in a year, beef in a year. That's incredible. So by estimates, 13 million to 26 million gallons of gasoline for your meat habit. We're at war for your meat habit, huh? And it can stop. Hard to believe, huh? That much oil consumption. For meat, but it is the truth, and you know there's no getting around it. So if you know you could be a vegan and leave your SUV idling in your driveway overnight and still come out ahead. Of course, you wouldn't do that. You'd want to drive a hybrid, I'm sure. But you know, going vegan saves more carbon emissions than even driving a hybrid. So doing both, imagine that, huh? So all the reasons in the world to go vegetarian, and of course you would be in wonderful company. There's a wonderful book from Rin Berry, Famous Vegetarians and Their Favorite Recipes, and it has everyone from Pythagoras and the Buddha, Plato, Socrates, Jesus Christ. What would his favorite foods be? Well, the recipes listed here are barley and lentils, wheat, mint, and parsley salad, Essene-sprouted bread. Plutarch is listed here, Leonardo da Vinci. You'd be in great company if you were to become a vegan. Leo Tolstoy and Gandhi is here, and the recipes listed, his favorite recipes listed are spicy chapatis, carrot salad, Gujarati style, and vegetable korma. Let's see, who else is in this book? George Bernard Shaw, and Henry Salt. Henry Salt's writings affected Gandhi also in making him vegan. And you know, you'd be joining Paul McCartney, huh? Dick Gregory, Chrissy Hynde, all these wonderful people. So you can do it. Go vegan. The life you save may be your own, but you know they talk about a meat eater consuming, I've heard estimates of 83 animals per year. Could you imagine that? 83 animals on the ground around you, and you become the cemetery for their cadavers. Put it behind you. It's the 21st century. Meat eating. How 20th century, huh? And this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the planet's first vegan radio program on commercial media airwaves. Today on the show, we will be talking to Camille Hankins of Win Animal Rights. We want to talk about some troubling legislation, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. And it is the hunting season is upon us, and Camille is involved with hunt sabotage and a program called Take Back the Woods. On this, the weekend where there's the debut of the animated film Out of the Woods, very pro-animal movie coming out that takes the animal side, as we do here on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I invite you to support this show. For some reason, the people who are lobbying for the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act are not buying advertising or making donations. So if you're involved with a vegan company, you have vegan and cruelty-free products and services, I invite you to advertise on this radio program, or you can make a donation. You can do it online at goveganradio.com, where the programs are archived and podcast. Or you can send a check made out to Go Vegan Radio. You know, Go Vegan Radio is a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center, so your donations are tax deductible to the extent allowable by law. Make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California 92164. And please stop eating animals, stop wearing animals, go vegan. I'm always talking about how delicious Veggianaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and veggies. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and veggies? Or a tofu burger with veggies? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about veggies in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see veggies in a book about stroke prevention. Yet, there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Wiebers, M.D., Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veginase, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. Yes, hard to believe that Veginase started as a sandwich dip at the restaurant Follow Your Heart, which is at 21825 Sherman Way in Canoga Park, California. A wonderful place to go for wonderful vegan options. I seem to be getting the enchiladas there quite often. The enchiladas corazón, made with Follow Your Heart cheese, the vegan gourmet cheese alternatives, which melt. They're totally delicious. And Follow Your Heart has wonderful pizzas, too, made with vegan gourmet cheeses. Just wonderful vegan pizzas there, and you'll love it. And all of the products, the vegan gourmet cheese alternatives and veggies, are made at the factory, the Follow Your Heart factory, which is totally solar-powered. Also, stop giving your family the bird. There's chicken free chicken from Follow Your Heart.
Oh no, now you're going to give it to people. Animal burgers.
Why would they ever do that in this day of mad cow disease, especially when there are sunshine burgers, huh? And why in this day and age, if you were looking for your essential fatty acids, your omega fatty acids, why would you be getting them from a fish source, you know? If you're omegas are a little fishy, then you're actually depleting the oceans, you know, and especially now when you have Omega Zen 3 from Nutru, available at all Southern California Whole Foods markets, providing you with your omega-3s in an all-natural, once-a-day formulated formulation derived from natural plant-based marine sources, grown in controlled, pollution-free conditions in a totally vegan format with no animal contaminants. In fact, Nutru's Omega Zen 3 has been evaluated by the Environmental Defense Organization Oceans Program as a best choice product, with test results showing no mercury, PCBs, dioxins, or other similar contaminants. And of course, you want to patronize a company such as Nutru, which develops product in line with your values: ethical treatment of animals, utilization of sustainable plant sources, a vegan lifestyle, energy conservation, recycling, less dependence on petroleum, and yes, saving the fish. It's kind of bizarre that people were in Canada, especially, were getting their fatty acids from seal oil capsules made from the seal industry. Oof, how gross can you get, huh? So anyway, all Southern California Whole Foods locations for that. You can also visit the website. It's Nutru.com, Nutru.com.
Still eating meat? How 20th century?
Right, especially when in the 21st century we have wonderful vegan restaurants like Truly, a really great vegan experience in Hollywood at 5907 Hollywood Boulevard. And Truly delivers. Truly can cater your next event. The phone number is 323-466-7958. It says it all right on the menu. We want to make a positive and healthful contribution to society. By using products that are animal-free, we're making a statement to ourselves and others that we are conscientious eaters acting toward the greater good of all beings. And who could imagine the greater good of the flavor of the foods at Truly? If you go for breakfast, you can have pancakes and chicken. Of course, when I say chicken, no bird, huh? And breakfast is served all day at Truly, so really delicious. You can experience the wonderful soups, their salads, their sandwiches and burgers. The wraps are really popular. The sushi is excellent. If you have friends who can't see, you know, who always want to go to Popeyes, and you know they don't want to go to Popeyes for spinach, as it should be, they want to go to Popeyes for chicken, take them to Truly. The batter fried chicken is unbelievable, as are the chicken nuggets. You'll also enjoy the noodle dishes, the curries, the veggie and rice. So again, that's Truly, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard at Bronson. It's right off the Hollywood Boulevard exit, off the 101 freeway.
Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
And we continue on the planet's first vegan radio program in mainstream media. A lot of the quotes, the Gandhi quotes, a lot of animal rights quotes are available from the website nancylove.com, nancealove.com, nancylove.com. Nancy Love is a wonderful, compassionate person who's a wonderful artist. You should look at all of the animal rights artwork on the website, nancylove.com. And my thanks to Nancy Love also. She's a regular contributor to the program. She supports Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And I hope that you'll consider that too. Free speech is expensive. Yes, we have to, in this bribocracy, we have to bribe the radio stations to allow us to have airtime so we can talk about such subjects. And I'm nervous myself, because if there is passage of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, well, this radio program may itself be a violation. So I'll have to call you from the jail cell next to Camille Hankins, probably, who's on our show today. She's with Wynn Animal Rights in New York, and has been a guest before, very active. And welcome, Camille. How are you today?
I'm fine, Bob. Thanks for having me on the show today.
It's great to have you here. I'm very nervous about the legislation, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. Now, we're recording this program today on Thursday, and it's airing on Sunday, so something might actually happen in Congress, between the recording and the airing of the program. But give us some background what we're facing here.
Okay, well, I hate to say it, Bob, but you should be afraid. You have a program that reaches out to a lot of people and has a lot of impact, and that's what they're going after. This act is aimed at activists and grassroots groups and large national groups as well that are effective in campaigning for animals. So if whatever you do is not effective, you can keep on doing that. That's not going to be a problem. It's those activists that are effectively causing change that are the ones that the government is trying to shut down with this act. There are two bills. One is H.R. 4239, and the other one is the Senate Bill 3880. It looks very much like the word on the Hill is that this is being fast-tracked by the White House. We're all under the impression that the bills had been tabled for discussion since they've only been recently introduced. But apparently the powers that be, and when I say powers that be, I mean the pharmaceutical companies and the biomedical industry, have gotten behind this bill, and they're pushing it forward. And they're looking to introduce it on Friday, which is the last day of the congressional session before their recess. If they don't pass
it
on...
So they were looking to introduce it at, like, this past Friday?
Correct, right. This past Friday. And if that, in fact, happens and it's passed, then we will all be thinking about whether or not we're going to continue working the way we're working right now. It's a difficult situation, because they will take a lot of the activities that are happening in the animal rights movement right now, things like undercover investigations, whistleblowing, civil disobedience, which is a time-honored tradition in this country. They will be criminalizing the activities In the past, if Martin Luther King had been alive today, his activities would be criminal activities. Not only criminal activities.
Arrest the Boston Tea Party people who caffeinated the harbor there.
Exactly. Those people would be terrorists. And that's the thing that's very, very discouraging about this, is that it makes what are legal activities now illegal, and it elevates them to the level of terrorists. And, Bob, I live in New York City. I know what real terrorism is. I watch people fly planes into buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that if five or ten activists link arms and block the entrance to a biomedical lab or a place where they're torturing animals, to elevate that to the level of those people that flew planes into the buildings by calling it terrorism is very, very distressing. It's very disrespectful to those people that really do experience real terrorism.
Right. Well, that's totally offensive. That's the word that they're using. These are companies and people who actually make billions on the exploitation of animals, who make regular donations to political candidates, and therefore they seem able to write the legislation. Who are some of the companies behind this?
Oh, it reads like a who's who list of the biopharmaceutical industry. You've got companies like GlaxoSmithKline, Pfizer, Roche. Of course, the animal testing labs are all represented on that list. Huntington Life Science is probably the most notorious, but Covance and Charles River Labs are also on the list, and all the lobbying groups that they give money to. So the list is pretty impressive from the standpoint of having a real good mixture of not only the people from the pharmaceutical industry and the biomedical industry, but also the people like Anheuser-Busch that run theme parks that use animals, and companies that are in agribusiness are very well represented on the list as well.
So the real terrorism is that they're very frightened of decreased profits.
That's it. In a nutshell, it all comes down to money. And the campaign that my group, When Animal Rights, is very much involved in is the campaign to stop the cruelty at Huntington Life Sciences. And I think a lot of what has been effective activism has really translated into this act. So I think that was the catalyst out of this legislation.
Okay. And any of the responsible? What politicians are?
Senator Inhofe is behind this, and Dianne Feinstein from the great state of California is a co-sponsor of the bill. We were very disappointed to hear that. We've heard recently that Barbara Boxer from California as well is also behind the bill, not as a co-sponsor, but that she probably will vote for it. This is very distressing when we see liberal Democrats coming out in favor of something that is so anti-free speech and so impacts our constitutional rights.
Well, what are we to do? Now, again, we're recording the show on Thursday. There it may have been passage this past Friday. What if it did pass, and what if it didn't pass?
I think regardless of whether or not it passes, I think we need to continue to fight it. If it passes and it's pushed through in the dead of night, we certainly need to let our representatives know that we're not in favor of controversial bills that impact constitutional rights being pushed through literally in the dead of night. And that's the kind of action that they're looking at doing here. This has not been scheduled for a vote. So it's possible that if enough people call in up until the time that that it's put up for a vote, that they may not get enough votes to go through. So at that point, we would have to fight in the next session.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage everybody to get with their representatives. Find out who your representatives are if you don't know. Reach out to them and let them know that this is something that's interesting to you, and that we don't need to criminalize activities or elevate activities. Some of the activities that are handled in this bill are already crimes, and there's no need for additional legislation, but we certainly don't need to take crimes like civil disobedience and elevate them to the level of domestic terrorism.
Absolutely.
I was very happy to hear that they took the death penalty out of the original version of the bill that Senator Inhofe had presented.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the death penalty.
Yet everyone who's being exploited, all of the animals are under the death penalty themselves for committing no crime.
That's absolutely correct. Look at just Huntington Life Sciences. 500 animals every day die in those labs, and they die under the most horrible possible conditions. We've seen tapes, investigative tapes, which would be outlawed by this bill. We've seen tapes showing beagle puppies being punched in the face and monkeys being cut open alive. The most chilling part of this legislation is that it targets whistleblowers, people that see things going on in companies and want to come forward and let people know that illegal acts are going on in companies. So it protects these companies that are killing animals on a daily basis, and yet vilifies and demonizes those of us that are trying to stop it.
Well, that's unbelievable. So I guess the next thing we have to lobby for is more better vegan food in the federal prisons, apparently, right?
So. Yeah, that's going to be an issue, and we might also want to talk about trying to get a new president.
I don't know. What do you mean? We should go back to the old way of electing them?
No, I think at this point what we need is we need a change in leadership in this country. I think that the present administration is taking us up a number of paths that are very harmful to the United States, both on a national level, an international level, and on the personal level, because we're being stripped of all of our individual constitutional rights.
Well, very serious situation there. So people should, if people want to stay in contact on this issue with you, what should they do?
Well, they can certainly write to us at war. Our email address is CENTCOM, it's CENTCOM, at war-online.org.
Okay.
And we'll be happy to do the search work for them and to find their representatives for them. Or there are various services on the Internet. If they Google, they can get their representatives' names and addresses and phone numbers.
Okay. And your website, again, is war-online.org. And, you're also here today to talk about, we have a happy movie premiere this weekend, huh?
The name of the movie is Open Season. And it's by Sony. It's an animated film, and it stars the voices of Ashton Kutcher and Martin Lawrence. We'll give a little plug to the movie since we want people to go see it.
Now, will this movie, is this legal under the Animal Terrorism Act? The Animal Enterprise
Under the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. This would probably not be legal. Mm-hmm. There are hunter harassment laws in many of the states in the country right now. Those hunter harassment laws call for, small penalties, fines, things like that. Under the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, who knows?
Yeah. Okay, so again, the movie's name is?
Open Season.
Open Season.
Okay. It's opening on Friday, September 29th.
It has opened on Friday.
So it will be open by now. It'll be great, a great family film. The premise of the film is that a bear that's being kept as a pet in someone's garage is convinced by a deer that he should try to see what it's like to live in the forest. And he leaves the garage and enters the forest and makes friends with all the forest creatures, and then finds out that there's a danger because it's about to be hunting season. And what he does is this bear organizes all of the woodland creatures to fight back.
Okay, kind of.
There's one particular scene that has been in the trailers of a hunter's SUV in a ball of flames that makes me think that I'm going to like this movie.
Well, this could be the start of the AALF, huh? The you know, the animal liberation, the animal liberation front, it sounds
like.
That
could be it. I wish we could get this shown in the forest.
Yeah, definitely. But it's amazing that a movie with this theme, you know, comes from Sony, right? So
it really is amazing, and it seems to be very well done. I've been to the website. It looks really good. It looks like it's going to be a very funny movie. And I think it definitely sends out the right message. This could be the same as the kind of impact that Disney did with Bambi many years ago.
Bambi.
I still say that Bambi and Dumbo turned me into an animal rights activist many years later.
And a lot of people say that. Paul McCartney said that, I believe. So,
uh-huh.
A lot of people. And then lately, Chicken Run has, I think, had an effect on children.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And Babe,
great film.
Babe, of course. And,
right.
And now we have Open Season with its debut this weekend. And that kind of coincides with a campaign you have related to taking back the woods.
We chose to launch our campaign, or our 2006 version of this campaign. We started this campaign about 3 years ago when they started the New Jersey Black Bear Hunt. It was the first time that New Jersey had held a black bear hunt in over 30 years. And I was able to literally go to school in the woods of New Jersey to find out what bear hunting is all about. And what I learned was so distressing that we took it and turned it into a campaign that also involves recruiting and training hunt saboteurs. We call them bear defenders.
Uh-huh.
But they are, in fact, hunt saboteurs. Hunt sabotage is an illegal activity in New Jersey. So what we try to teach people is how they can have an impact on the hunt without necessarily breaking the law. And there are many ways that you can do that. Just your presence or a person's presence in the woods at the time of the hunt, although somewhat dangerous, is a real defensive measure for the woodland creatures that are at risk.
Mm-hmm. And what else is legal?
Well, for instance, you can, in New Jersey, which is where I've had my experience, you can walk through the woods without any problem, as long as you don't overtly try to stop a hunter from taking a shot. Of course, if you walk in the path of the hunter, you will probably cause him to turn his firearm away from the bear.
Depending upon how many 12 packs he's consumed, but
and that's true too, and that is one of the dangers that we face. One of the things we try to do when we go out into the woods is we try to look like them, because they have guns, we don't. So we have to be very careful, and I would be lying if I didn't say that we had encountered some fairly well inebriated hunters out in the woods of New Jersey. By the same token, I'm not going to tell you that everyone out there is like that. It's a real mixture out there.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody out there with a gun is out there to kill an animal. And that is our purpose in being there, is to defend those animals. We walk over tracks and we obliterate scat or droppings of animals so that hunters can't track them. Last year we found that some people, we don't know who they were, but some people had actually gone into the woods and taken down hunting stands, tree stands.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those tree stands are illegal. So the activists, or if they were activists, could have easily gone to a wildlife officer and asked for the stand to be removed very legally.
Mm-hmm. But instead,
that's the kind of thing that we teach in our program.
Mm-hmm. So they weren't enforcing the law themselves, were they?
Well, the thing is, who knows who took those down? Could have been a bear up a tree.
Right. They could see what's happening, and they're distressed that people sit up in a tree, drink Budweiser, and, you know.
That's it. And the whole thing, the bear hunt is a particularly horrible hunt, because basically what these guys do is they go into the woods multiple weeks ahead of time, and they set up these bait stations that are full of things like jelly donuts and honey and things with bacon grease that really attract a bear, and a bear gets an imprint of a food source, and he'll keep coming back to that food source. So basically what they do is they habituate the bear to coming to a particular spot, And then the day that hunting season starts, they get up in their tree stand and they literally shoot the bear in the back while it's munching on jelly donuts. This doesn't sound very much like a sport to me.
How brave they are to do that, huh?
Really. In the back, many of these bears, one of the most distressing sights I've ever seen is in the first bear hunt. I saw a hunter at the weigh station open up the back of a station wagon and take out the body of what I thought was a Labrador retriever. Turned out it was a baby bear. This was his catch. And to see these things really has, that's what's given us the inspiration to take to formulate this program, Take Back the Woods, Operation Take Back the Woods. And it's interesting to note, too, that in the United States, about 93% of our population on average does not hunt. The large majority of that 93% are not in favor of hunting. Yet, for the season, for hunting season, the woods are closed down to all of those people so that the hunters can have at it and just keep killing.
Well, and again, there must be some money involved for this to be happening somehow, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of money involved. And the people that make the equipment and all the gear, these are not people that are out there tracking the animals. They're people that are using, that are putting, $2,000 cameras, motion sensor detectors in the trees. And those are some of the things that if you go into the woods about a week before a season, you can actually find those things left unattended by the hunters. They also put out, they go out into the woods in the wee hours of the morning, so it's dark, and they put reflectors in the trees so that they could find their way to the illegal tree stands and illegal bait stations. Sometimes people go into the woods and change those markers around. So we saw in New Jersey that we had some very confused hunters out there.
Good. Well, I mean, they just to do what they're doing, they have to be confused. To be having fun at what they're doing is, they're a little more than confused,
And that's definitely the truth.
Yeah, and the thing is, why not take a picture? I mean, if you're going to go to all the trouble of being out there and pressing a button, it could just as easily be on a camera as on, some...
Well, and that's the whole essence of the Take Back the Woods program. What we're telling people is that, if they're willing to go out there, and we tell people to put on the hunter, the blaze orange, so that they're not at risk of being shot by another hunter, but you can go out there and hunt wildlife and take pictures of them. You have that right. Most of these hunts are done in federal and state properties and in state parks. You have the right to use those parks. So you can go in there and have your camera, you can have picnics, you can have events in the woods at the same time as the hunters are out there. I can guarantee you that hunters, one of the reasons that these guys like to do this is that they like to get away from everybody and do their thing in privacy. When you're going to assassinate a bear by killing him in the back, you generally don't want an audience. You especially don't want an audience with a camera.
Right, yeah. But then when the bear is taken home, then it's, look at me, I was so brave, I traipsed through the woods under the harshest conditions,
Right. Yeah, and that is the story that they tell. How they can tell that story when the bear that they've captured is a 70-pound cub is hard for me to believe. The other thing that I can tell you is even though it's definitely against the law, we have heard hunters on two-way radios talk about rousting bears that have already denned. Some of the bears go to den early. It could be that there's a pregnant female and she's gone to den early, and they will go in and shoot a bear in its sleep. And we have heard them do that on two-way radios. So these are the kinds of things that happen out there. We can do something about it. There is a new website that I'd like to bring to your attention. It's www.huntsab.org. It's HUNTSAB.org. And it's an information source for anybody that's interested in knowing more about hunt sabotage. They have a program where you can actually do some scouting on your own and it's called Operation Game Thief, where if you find a poacher or know of any kind of poaching activity, you can report these violations. They tell you how to do it, and they're actually offering up to $1,000 reward for the for if this leads to any convictions.
Excellent. Okay.
So it's a good program. They have plenty of good information. It's a fairly new site, so they're still building it. But and WAR will be contributing to that site and putting some of the information that we've learned over the last 3 years.
Great.
Hunts don't need to happen anymore. It's a very small minority of the American public that participates in this blood sport, and we think it's time to take back the woods. It's time to get out there and enjoy our woods and make our woods habitable for those of us that don't want to see bloodshed.
Thank you so much, Camille Hankins from Win Animal Rights, or WAR. The website is war-online.org, war-online.org. And the website for those prospective hunt saboteurs, huntsab.org, huntsab.org. Camille Hankins, thank you so much for being on Go Vegan with Bob Linden today.
Thank you very much, Bob. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Okay, that was Camille Hankins of Win Animal Rights. And let's see, what do we have on the calendar? Here's my calendar now. Okay. By the way, if you are traveling about throughout the nation, throughout the state, throughout the world, if you want to know where the vegan options are, vegetarian restaurants, health food stores, make sure you go to happycow.net. happycow.net. And also, I invite you to make a donation to Last Chance for Animals, a wonderful animal rights organization. You saw the documentary on HBO, Dealing Dogs, and you know the work that LCA did on that is projected to save 21,000 animals yearly from bee dealers who trade in dogs, send them off to research labs. But that's expensive work, and so you might want to make a donation to Last Chance for Animals. And you can also designate that you'd like a portion of that to go to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And LCA would be happy to do that. You mail your check to Last Chance for Animals, 8033 Sunset Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90046. You can also make a donation online at lcanimal.org. Well, Farm Sanctuary is inviting you to slip on a pair of comfortable non-leather shoes and join the Walk for Farm Animals happening in cities across the United States and Canada to raise awareness and funds for animal rescue and protection. You can visit walkforfarmanimals.org, walkforfarmanimals.org. For example, in San Francisco, the walk is Saturday, October 14th, in front of the ferry building at the Embarcadero. You register at 10 a.m., you walk at 11, and if you want to email, it's sanfrancisco@walkforfarmanimals.org, walkforfarmanimals.org. And again, happening in cities around the country, so check it out, see where there's a walk near you. Let's see here. Let me see. I've been wanting to get to this calendar event for a while, and here we go. Is your right to vote at risk? A panel of experts discusses the current state of voting in the United States. And that is Monday, October 16th at 6:45 p.m. at the Sepulveda Unitarian Universalist Society. That's at The Onion, 9550 Haskell Avenue in North Hills. Oh, gosh, a couple of years ago, that's where we had our Valentine celebration, huh? So it's covering topics, it's from Florida to Ohio and beyond. Talks about the evidence mounting regarding our votes being in jeopardy. Is every vote being counted? Are new voting machines designed to conceal fraud and corruption? Are voters being intimidated at the polls? Are people of color being disenfranchised? These and other questions will be addressed. Is your right to vote at risk? Again, Monday, October 16th And that's 6:45 p.m. The Sepulveda Unitarian Universalist Society, The Onion, 9550 Haskell Avenue, North Hills, California. And let's see. I think that should do it for the calendar, huh? On to spot break two. As my log tells me here. And let's see. I'm actually keeping track here. Okay, what I want to tell you about. Well, now you can run on solar power too with Sunshine Burgers. Since 1983, now it's your turn to discover the delicious simplicity of organic vegan ingredients with protein-packed Sunshine Burgers. Protein from the sunflower, energy from the sun. Sunshine Burgers are simply delicious from simple ingredients, like the original. Certified organic, ground raw sunflower seeds, brown rice, carrots, herbs, and sea salt. Totally delicious. Or try the organic, zesty Southwestern Sunshine Burger with ground raw sunflower seeds, brown rice, carrots, black beans, bell peppers, cilantro, garlic, jalapeno, cumin seeds, onion, and sea salt. Magnifico! Look for Sunshine Burgers in the frozen food section of your natural foods market, where you'll also find the barbecue Sunshine Burger with natural smoke flavor. And I tell you, I'm hearing from people, listeners who are trying Sunshine Burgers. They are really popular. People are loving them. Nominated as the best burger with Veg News. No soy, no wheat, gluten-free Sunshine Burgers with protein from the sunflower kernel, which is also rich in fiber and potassium and iron and vitamin E. So it's the gourmet burger since 1983, oven-baked, pre-cooked. Just heat and serve, and you are solar-powered, too. You can visit the website, sunshineburger.com, or better yet, visit the frozen food section of your natural foods market.
Don't want bird flu? Maybe you shouldn't eat birds. A chicken is a bird.
Yes, indeed. Okay, and then what happens when you have all of these diseases from your meat eating and you finally decide you want to do something about it and you go vegan and you start drinking Himalayan goji juice? You know, Dr. Earl Mendel says it's his most amazing health discovery in his 40 years, and he wrote the Vitamin Bible. He got Carl Lewis to go vegan. So this is the amazing Asian super juice that's been known for centuries. Goji means happy. It fights depression. It's the berry growing closest to the sun there, you know, and for all over cell rejuvenation, powerful protection against germs, amazing arthritis relief, proven cancer protection. Yes, there are case studies. You can go to pubmed.org and Lycium Barbarum, those studies. And then order your goji juice from the website govegan.freelife.com. govegan.freelife.com. And you have a 90-day money-back guarantee. You know, drink a bottle, drink a case, and see what it does for you. A lot of people find that their pain diminishes. I know people whose blood pressure has normalized. Wonderful stories that I hear from folks. So definitely Himalayan goji juice from the website govegan.freelife.com. If you are involved with an event that's happening, you're with an animal rights organization or a vegetarian group, you can get a discount from Shalom Printing, 15133 Ventura Boulevard in Sherman Oaks. The phone number is 818-905-6413.
Why does Canada let the baby seals be killed? Shame on you, Canada.
Yes, indeed. Okay, let's see. Can we do animal news and views? Maybe I'll go on to that. See if we can get to a few stories this week. And by the way, on next week's program, want to make sure you listen. We'll be addressing, oh gosh, all the controversy happening with LA Animal Services for years now. The plagued animal services. We'll talk to Felice Catena about that on next week's program. Okay, let us see. Associated Press reporting the 29th suspected case of a mad cow in Japan this past week. Since the first case in 2001, Tokyo has taken steps to test all cows before entering the food supply. Very unlike the United States, where the policy is don't look, don't find, don't tell, even though one bite can be fatal, you know, one bite can be fatal in a disease that can lie dormant for years. One bite from your cow burger today, and who knows, you can come down with this fatal disease in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years. You wouldn't even know that it was from your big bad burger. From a press release from Farm Sanctuary this past week, the headline was, "Experts on animal welfare, ethics, and the law join humane and interfaith leaders to voice support for Chicago's foie gras ordinance." Alderman Joe Moore's ordinance went into effect in August, banning the sale of foie gras, actually passing the city council by a vote of 48-1. Foie gras is French for fatty liver. It's produced by force-feeding ducks and geese two or three times a day through a pipe shoved down their throats, and then their livers swell to 10 times their normal size, and then it is called a delicacy, which is totally insane, as is the reaction to this foie gras ban. You know, it's being banned in countries all over Europe. But Mayor Daley in Chicago signed on to the repeal of the foie gras ban. He wants to bring back the cruelty food. Last month he signed a proposal, and he said that this ordinance is the funniest thing that he's ever heard. It's so funny, huh? And force feeding geese. How funny that could be. Beheadings, huh? Totally funny. Mass murders, hilarious, huh? Well, we do have some good news. The governor has John Hancock, Senate Bill SB 1578, making it illegal in California to tether, fasten, chain, tie, or restrain a dog by attachment to a doghouse, tree, fence, or other stationary object for longer than 3 hours in any given 24-hour period. And now, if you see violations of this new anti-tethering law, you can call your local animal control, the police, or the sheriff's department. So that law has passed. The governor has signed it. Now, last year, an investigation of California pet stores revealed widespread violations of California laws designed to protect animals sold in pet stores. And it was shown that there was inadequate care, also conditions harmful to animals who were ill and seriously injured. Animals trapped in lonely situations in pet stores need their health care to be monitored, as well as the parameters of their confinement, the adequacy of their diet, the richness of their environment. Of course, the abolitionists would say ban it all, but we need to get improvements for them the way they are. The Pet Shop Reform Bill, AB 2862, from Mark Ridley Thomas, is now on the governor's desk and has yet to be signed. And you can encourage him again to do the right thing by calling 916-445-2841. 916-445-2841. Or you can fax 916-445-4633. That's 916-445-4633. Or you can email governor@governor.ca.gov. So that's governor@governor.ca.gov. Okay. Well, I want to thank you for listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden this week. I hope you enjoyed the program. I hope you are so motivated to just get rid of the animals on your plate, just get rid of meat and dairy. You don't need them, you don't need to jeopardize your health like that. You don't need to harm the environment, and you certainly don't need to be hurting the animals who suffer, 10 billion of them, 10,000 million for food every year in these United States. Okay, please send money so we can stay on the air and continue this message of compassion on the radio. Send money. You can make a donation online at goveganradio.com or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego 92164. Go Vegan!